Hi. Well, God does love us very much, as we just sang about. And one of the evidences of His love is that He has given us His Word. He's given us the Bible. And what's great about the Bible is it does have this message of the free gift of God. That is the theme, is our need for Him, Him entering into our story and purchasing us back and rescuing us. But all throughout that story, He shows us other evidences of His love by talking about things that we actually experience and things that we actually go through. And so one of those things is speech. Every day we talk and all that. And so the Word, the Bible, talks about our tongues and how we use them and how they affect each other. And so we're doing this series all through the month of November talking about taming tongues. And I just want to review last week for you quickly. We talked about a story where a man was trying to get cobwebs off his house. Do you guys remember what happened? He wasn't using a broom. He wasn't using a hose. He was using a blowtorch. All right? And he burned half his house, and the rest of it was damaged by the smoke and the water that they used to put the fire out. And so a small flame ruined his whole house. And the scriptures say in James chapter 3 that our tongues are like that. They're a small spark, and they can set the whole course of your life. Not just your life right now, but the course of it, where it is going, it can change your path forever. This small little thing. James also describes it like the rudder on a ship. It's a little piece of a ship that steers its direction. Your tongue can change the direction of your life. So that is why we were talking about it. And I want to give you this morning, here's the message, is four more reasons why God's Word talks about taming tongues. So why are we talking about taming tongues? All right. And here's why. The first reason is this. Words are everywhere. I mean, words are... When is the last time you went a day without words? Has anybody gone a whole day? I'm not talking about like when you had your tonsils out and you didn't speak, because even if you're not speaking, other people are speaking to you, or you're watching television, or you're reading something. I mean, has anybody ever gone a day without words? Words, really? You're just in complete isolation? You're making that up. You just want another ding-dong. All right? I mean, we've never gone a day without words, and I've got some information here actually about words. I think this is really interesting. There's about 600,000 words in the English language. That's a little bit more than 500,000. So there's about 600 words in the English language. Shakespeare, okay, he wrote a lot of plays and literature a long time ago. He's kind of a famous, you know, playwright and all that. It's estimated that Shakespeare knew in his vocabulary about 66,000 words, and just in his writings, he used about 30,000 words. So isn't that crazy that there's 600,000 words in our language in the dictionary, but Shakespeare only knew about 66,000 out of those 600,000, and the average person, you and me, only know between 12,000 and 20,000. So Shakespeare used 30,000. He used more words than you and me know. So if you ever read Shakespeare, if you ever get an assignment for school and you have to read like Hamlet or Romeo and Juliet and you don't understand what it means, that's because he knew more words than you. He wrote more words than you. But words are everywhere. Get this. The average teenager sends over 3,339 texts a month. All right? 3,000. That is 3,339 texts in a month. Is more than 6 texts an hour while you're awake. All right? So how many people would say, I send 5 or more texts an hour? Anybody? They must, wow. Well, I expected like 2 or 3 hands. Even during school? No or yes? He's like, yeah. Even during school, I'm texting my mom. I love her. So you got cell phones, you have Facebook, you have email, you have videos, television, music, friends, teachers, coaches, parents, siblings. You have speaking, you have writing, and you have screens everywhere. I've got a screen in my pocket. I've got a screen right here. There's 2 right here. There's a computer back there, and every one of you has a screen in your pocket. Words are everywhere. The average male, there's a lot of different statistics out there, but this is the one that's most consistent. The average male speaks about 2,000 words in a given day. The average female speaks, so guys speak about 2,000, girls speak about 7,000 words a day. That's the average. So words are everywhere, and when I say everywhere, I mean girls are everywhere. That's basically what I'm saying. Is it? No, I'm just kidding. So here's why we're talking about taming tongues is you never go a day without words. We're surrounded with words. Every one of us deals with words. So God wants to help us work through a reality of our lives. Also this, words are powerful. Words give meaning and they create memories. Words give meaning and create memories. I want to do a little exercise with you to tell you about kind of the power of words. I mean, one simple word can bring up a memory. Like I could say one word and it can conjure up a memory or an emotion in you and elicit just a response. Just from one word, all right, can change the way you feel and the way you think about things. So here we go. I'm going to say a word and I want you to verbally give me your response, but then settle back down because I've got a list of words here. All right, you ready? One word. Bieber. All right. See? Stop. One word. One word. Terrorist. Hang on. Alcohol. Stop. Stop. Hey, for some of you guys, that's like a really funny joke. For some people, it's not a funny joke because they live with somebody that abuses alcohol. And that one word, boom, just lands right in your heart. Jesus. Chocolate. Yeah. Obama. Yeah. All right, wait. Ready? Kiss. Yeah. I like the sixth grade boys section is like, yeah. Like, their voices changed. They hadn't changed yet. I said kiss. They're like, my voice just got deeper. Lust. Cash. Yeah! Hang on. Cash was faster and louder than Jesus. Just pointing that out. All right. Xbox, Parker. Yeah! How about this one? How about this word? Homework. All right, hang on. Divorce. Funeral. Aggies. I love it. All right. So, thank you for cheering, Jason. That was nice. That was really nice of you. You cheered 5 times. That was great. That was awesome, man. Words obviously give meaning to your life, right? Words shape your emotions and the way you act. Are you saying I love you? What are you saying to me? I love you too, Cameron. That's great. Okay. Words give meaning to your life. Also, words create memories, all right? You remember things via words. Let me give you some examples. Finish this sentence. Always look both ways before. That's right. Or committing a crime. Don't talk with your... Also, pants down works in that sentence. Put the toilet seat... No. Down. Don't fart on... The correct answer there is girls. Don't fart on girls, okay? But words give meaning to your life, and words create memories. You can have experiences that you experience, but all of them are retained in your life with words. You tell that story over and over again to other people. Words give meaning to your life, and words create memories, and words are everywhere. So why are we talking about taming the tongue? Well, words are powerful. They're everywhere, and they give meaning and create memories in your life. Also, this is why God wants to teach us about how to handle our words, is that words are powerful, they give meaning, they give memories and all that, but words can hurt. Words can hurt. The scriptures say in the book of Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 18, it says that reckless words pierce like a sword. Now, I don't want the same silly response. I want you to sit in silence as I read this next list of words. And I want you to think about what words have been said about you that that have pierced you like a sword. And at the same time, I want you to think about which of these words have you uttered about someone else? A teacher, a coach, a peer, a sibling, a parent? And which of your words have you recklessly used to pierce others? So which words have pierced you? And which words have pierced others? I want to tell you this list so you get a clear application of what I'm talking about. Words are everywhere. They give meaning and memories to your life, and they can hurt. Fat, overweight, out of shape, big-boned, hefty, pudgy, idiot, stupid, dumb, slow, challenged, behind, nerd, dork, geek, lame, loner, loser. Reject, annoying, outsider, wimp, wuss, short, shrimp, weakling, little guy, ugly, jerk, tool, punk, sad, poor, desperate, poser. I want to break up. You got dumped. She dissed you. You smell, you suck, you're so gay. Shut up, leave, go away, nobody likes you. It's your fault, he hates you. I don't have time. Maybe later. You didn't make the team. We're getting a divorce. Goodbye. He's been drinking again. We're going to have to move. The results weren't good. It's cancer. He passed away. And those are just a few words that have given meaning to your life, but in a way that is hurtful. And that you have spoken, you have said some, if not all, of the words on that list. Now, there are some that are very specific to very specific situations, but there's others that we just toss around, just like in our everyday language, loosey-goosey. We say we're joking, we say they can handle it, but we are denying the truth that God has given us in our word, who understands how this world works better than anyone. Who said that your reckless words, where you say, oh, they can handle it, I'm just throwing at them, I'm just joking, that they actually pierce like a sword. So they give meaning. Sometimes it's negative, and words can hurt. And all of you guys should be sitting there with really heavy hearts thinking, I've said those words, and I have probably hurt somebody. And here's the thing. You guys are so ill-equipped to deal with conflict, meaning that you don't really know how to handle it when someone hurts you, that most of the time when someone hurts you or you hurt someone else, nobody speaks up and says anything about it. I mean, if it gets to the point where they do, they're usually attacking back at you with more reckless swords. If not, they just go away and they bear that wound for the rest of their life. And I can tell you as a 32-year-old man that there are still scars that I have that are left from words that pierced me when I was your age. And I know that I have left scars on others for words that I use that pierce them. And that is an awful, terrible feeling. But there's hope. I mean, God's word doesn't just present a problem and not present a solution. That is what is so great about the Lord. Is that he knows us so well, and he doesn't just point his finger at us and shake it in our face, but he offers a solution. And here's the solution is this. Words are everywhere. They give meaning and memories. The words can hurt, but words can also heal. All right? They have a tremendous power for evil, but they also have an amazing power for good. You see, Proverbs 12:18, I just gave you half the verse. The first half of the verse was reckless words pierced like a sword. The second half is this, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Your tongue, your words can bring healing into other people's lives. And I want you to realize this. I mean, think about the world that we live in today. Think about your school. Think about everyone else in this room. Does this room, does this world, do the kids sitting in your lunchroom every day, do they need more hurt in their life? Or do they need more healing? I mean, what does this world need? Do we need more hurt? Do we need more reckless words? No, we don't need that. You don't need that. And the people around you don't need that. We need more healing. And words have a power to heal. I want to give you a vision, I gave you a long list of words that can hurt. Let me give you an idea for how your words can heal. The word heal, H-E-A-L. See if you can remember this. Okay? H, words can hold up. Words can hold up somebody whose life is falling apart, who's falling down. Words like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Words can encourage other people. You know, you can say things like, you've got a lot going for you. Here are the things I like about you, right? Here are things that might help you. You can accept other people. I mean, just simply say, hey, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. And hey, you're cool, right? Forget what they say. I accept you. And you can lead other people. You can say, hey, God loves you, and God has a plan for your life. And let me lead you into finding that. So you can hold other people up, you can encourage them, you can accept them, and you can lead them. Do people need more healing or do people need more hurt? You know the answer. They need more healing. But here's the reality. You're going to walk out of here today, and I guarantee you today, through the rest of your day, even if you think about this while you're walking out, and especially into tomorrow at school, you're going to be more reckless and less wise with your words. Put the verse back up, Proverbs 12:18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. You're going to be more reckless than wise. And you're going to hurt more than you're going to heal. And I hope you're sitting here thinking, the world does need more healing than they need hurting. And I want to be a part of it. I want to say words that hold others up and encourage them and accept them and lead them. I want to be that kind of person. And yet, here's the problem. You still will continue to be reckless. And you still will continue to hurt people rather than being wise and healing them. And here's why. Is that you don't understand how to look at the world around you and understand the need that is there. Right now, when you're in a room and you're at church and the guy's preaching at you and showing you God's word and reading all these words that are hurtful, you get it. You're like, yeah, the world does need healing more than hurting. But most of the time, you're not thinking about that. You're not seeing other people the way God sees them. You're not able to look out and say, this world does need healing more than hurting, and I'm going to use my words to heal and not to hurt. You see, out of the overflow of your heart, this is the verse we looked at last week, Luke 6:45. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. This is any person. And so what's going on in your heart is that you don't have a heart that has been transformed by God and is able to move its way into your eyes so that you see people the way Christ sees people. So here's a takeaway. I want you to see this point. Your heart for people determines your words towards people. Your heart for people determines your words towards people. All right? And I want to give you an example of Jesus' heart towards people and then how it affected his words. All right? So this story comes from Matthew 9, verse 35 through 36. Jesus is going through all the towns and villages. He's teaching in their synagogues or churches. He's preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. So his words are healing, certainly as he's preaching the good word and certainly as his words are healing disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds as he's going around, all right, so you're going to see, you see a crowd of people in this room right now. Everybody look around and see a crowd. Just stop looking at me. Stop looking at the chair in front of you. Look around. Just take in the 300 people that are in this room. All right. When you walk out, there's going to be a stream of adults flowing out of big church, and this lobby is going to be filled with a crowd of people. The parking lot is going to have a crowd, and when you walk in your school, the halls will have a crowd of people, and your classrooms are a crowd of people. So when Jesus saw the crowds, look at verse 36, pay attention, don't miss what this is saying. He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You see, Jesus saw people, and he saw what was real. That everyone, every person is harassed and helpless. There's enough hurt, all right? They're harassed at home a lot of times. They're harassed by their peers. They're harassed by their siblings. You might have even been harassed today. I mean, people are harassed and helpless. We're like sheep without a shepherd. And what we need is healing. And so Jesus had compassion on them. When is the last time you looked at someone and instead of calling them fat or instead of doing, you know, making fun of what they were wearing or what they said or how they did or how they played a game or their ability at whatever, you looked at them and you just had compassion on them and you realized, you know what, they've probably been hurt enough today. Let's say some words of healing. You see, out of the overflow of your heart, what your heart feels towards people impacts what your words say towards people. And so here's the last point I want to make, and then I want to just let you think about it real quick. I'm going to play a song and show a little music video. The last point I want to make is this. If we see people the way Christ sees people, our words will heal people the way Christ heals people. But you have to learn to see people. You have to have God's eyes to see people the way he does. Then you can have compassion on them. You can understand and remember that there is enough hurt and not enough healing. The only way you can see people the way Christ sees people is that you know God. And you have an ongoing relationship with him. And you know how he sees you and has had compassion on you. And you ask him, you say, God, give me your eyes. And so there's a song by Brandon Heath, and that is the title of it. Give me your eyes. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to watch this music video, listen to the words of this song, but I want you to pray. I want you to pray what the words are. God, give me your eyes. Help me see how there's enough hurt in this world. Help me understand that people are brokenhearted and they need healing. And Lord, would you change my words by changing my heart? So watch this music video and then we're going to close.
Down from a broken sky, traced out by the city lights. My world from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight. Touchdown in the coal black top, hold on for the sudden stop. Breathing the familiar shock of confusion and chaos. All those people going somewhere, why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 Step out on a busy street, see a girl and our eyes meet. Does her best to smile at me, to hide what's underneath. There's a man just to right, black suit and a bright red tie. Too ashamed to tell his wife he's out of work, he's buying time. All those people going somewhere, why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Give me your eyes, Lord. Give me your eyes. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your heart.
This whole room, yeah. I mean, what if this whole room prayed, God, help me see people the way you see people, and help my words heal people the way you heal people? What would happen? I want to close with this story. There's a, in my office, I have two bookshelves. And on one of my bookshelves, I have some books, and I have a framed picture, like from when my wife and I were engaged, and a little picture of Chapman when he was 6 months old. And then on that framed picture there, I have a note that's propped up. What that's called is paper, and the person used a pen to write on it. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that sort of technology, but it was around back in the day, and it's going to make a comeback, I guarantee you. But now, you know, you guys, you write notes on people's walls, or you send them a message, or you send a text message, or whatever. But honestly, when I was your age, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have cell phones. There was no Facebook, no texting, none of that stuff, right? So you either talked to somebody, or you wrote them a note. And this is a note that I got on November 3rd, all right, 1991, 20 years ago, 20 years and 10 days ago. And this note sits up in my office. And I see it every single day. And I don't stop and like read it word for word every day. But the note is there. And it's written by my small group leader. When I was your age, I was in a small group. You might notice it says K-Life up on top. My small group was through K-Life. It says this, November 3rd, 1991. You guys weren't even alive. David, soccer stud, flag football stud, funny guy. Is there anything you can't do? You're even a salesman. Candy at lunch. I used to sell, the principal would pick two people a year in eighth grade, two eighth graders, and during lunch, you get to sell candy and you get paid for doing it. And I was responsible enough to be trusted with all this money and all this candy. And so that's why he was saying, is there anything you can't do? You're even a salesman. And he says, the amazing David Peniel, exclamation point. Hey, I just wanted to write you a quick note to tell you what a great job you did in the game Saturday. He came to my soccer game. You really hustled and you went after it, even when those guys were bigger. Very impressive. Remember, I was little tiny. David, I also want to let you know how much I appreciate your consistency and leadership in the small group Bible study. The guys in the group really seem to follow your lead. When you get serious, they seem to. And when you goof off, they seem to. Keep up the good work. I'm praying for you. In Christ, Craig. Like one little page, one little note card of words. And that was a time in my life, reminder, I was a little guy. I didn't feel like I was a soccer stud. I felt like I was barely keeping up. And I was down. And those words offered me healing. And you have the same opportunity to use the same power of words to either hurt people or heal them. So here's your application. Here's the challenge this morning. Yes, pray, give me your eyes. But then take that and act on it. And I want to challenge you guys to do this. Either get a piece of paper and actually write an old-fashioned note. I think that'd be really cool. Stick it in someone's locker, right? Hand it to them in class. Send it in the mail. I don't care. Send somebody a text message. Write on their wall. Send them a message on Facebook. Send them an email if you know email addresses and you do that sort of thing. Send one person an encouraging note this week. And just try it out. See people the way God sees people and love them the way God loves them. And just say, hey, you did a great job at this. I always look up to you for this. I appreciate this about you. I'm here for you. I want to hold you up. I want to encourage you. I want to accept you, and I want to lead you. And that would be fantastic if everyone in this room did that. Use your words to heal.